wasn't ready yet. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, now I'm ready. 3 John, verse 13. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Dear Lord, we thank you for the series that we've had in 2 and 3 John, and we pray that as we bring it to a close, that you would really bring closure, Lord, that we would have a full understanding of the main message you had for us in 2 and 3 John, and we pray that the growth that has started as we've looked through this would just continue to grow, and that you would continue to work these things in us. Please fill me with your spirit to speak your word, and I pray that we would all grow deeper in you today. And we pray this in your name. All God's people said, amen. Okay, so we arrive at the closing of 3 John. And not only is it the closing of 3 John, but it's the closing of our series, To Whom It May Concern. You guys so sad. Yeah, but I don't think we're going to go to Revelation. Oh, wow. Okay, that gets the... Okay, wow. I see how it is. And you might expect at this ending for some, like, grand ending, for something really special, for John to be like, but here's the way to Candy Mountain, or something really important like that. Yeah, or like, but here's the way to my Lucky Charms, if he was like, something like that. I don't know who John is. Well, yeah, we know who he is, but, It's really not that grand. John keeps it pretty plain. He keeps it simple. He's like, there's so much more I want to tell you guys. There's so much more I could say, but I'd rather do it in person, so I'm not going to write about it right now because it'd basically be like a whole book. So John is that guy, if you texted him or emailed him, he'd be like, let's talk about it in person. I don't like those people, personally. I mean, I don't mind sometimes, but when you can just reply and say, okay, yeah, totally, or whatever, but they're like, let's talk about it in person, you know it's like, it's gonna be a big deal, you know what I mean? When someone does that, no? You guys will know one day when you're like, emailing someone about something important and they go, let's talk in person, you're like, no! I thought it was simple! And then it also shows us the importance of face-to-face communication. So John, the only living apostle at that time, he was at a point in his life where he was like, I'm sick of letters, I'm sick of texting, and I'm sick of emailing people. I want to talk to you face-to-face. Forget this FaceTime stuff. Forget liking pics on Instagram and following on Facebook. I want to see you face to face so we can have a normal conversation. And if John thought that way, I feel like we should also be thinking that way. We should see the importance of it. And so often with our generation, because we like are used to texting and we're used to being able to like think for 15 minutes about a one-word reply, because of that, we can think that like personal communication is awkward. Like, what if I forget what to say? What if he makes eye contact with me and like my brain stops working, or like what if it gets really awkward? And I think sometimes, even though face-to-face communication can be super awkward, and it is, and it's awkward and it's uncomfortable, and like timing is weird, and you don't have 15 minutes to think about your reply, but we should still push through the awkwardness. We should still make that effort to have face-to-face communication. That's just a little side note, looking at John. He encourages them to live in peace, so basically just to rest in Christ, to rest on the finished work of Christ, to just be at peace, be in tranquility, to rest. And then he finishes up, he's like, say what's up to all the homies over there, and then he's like, all the homies over here, say what's up. That's pretty much what he did. He says, our friends greet you, and then he's like, greet the friends. So he's like, my homies say what's up, tell my homies over there, I said, what's up. And then he's like, that's all I got. And then he drops the mic and walks away. Yeah, pretty much, that's about it. It's pretty short and simple, right? Yeah? Like, he's not like, here's the secret to all that I've learned. No, he's just like, here it is. But before we leave our series, I just want to take a pretty short, pretty brief look at some of the like highlights that we've covered so far in To Whom It May Concern. So we're kind of, this would be like the summary of the series so that before we leave, we're able to look at everything and be like, okay, okay, and then hopefully tie it together. So today, our main focus is that we're going to take a look at three of the most important topics that we covered in this series. Then we'll see how it's all going to tie it together, how we can like bring it all to one big ending, like one final truth, one final meaning. So we're going to look at the 3 points. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. The truth. There's a rapper called Da Truth, and we're not looking at that, but he's a good rapper. Him and Lecrae own a record label that almost sued Katy Perry once. Just so you know, but they didn't do it. He's like Lecrae's business partner. Second, the protection. So the truth, the protection. And then third, the conduct. Not the conductor, like not a train conductor. The conduct. Who did that? Was that Nolan? Did you just... No? Who? Someone made a train sound, right? Was it only me? I thought, no, someone made a little train. You did, Sam? Okay, Sam did. Phew. Thought I was going crazy. So we're going to start looking at the truth. And the truth was a huge aspect of this series. It has kind of been entangled into almost every teaching so far. But when we started the series, we had to look at truth in depth. And he starts from verse 1 of 2 John, all about truth. He says, "To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth." So John is all about the truth, and he's all about truth. And so we had to very carefully define truth, because the definition of truth in our generation, in the current culture that we're growing up in, has been tweaked throughout time to where we arrive now at a point where truth can really be whatever anybody wants it to be. And if you argue against that, you're like not politically correct, you're rude, you're intolerant, you're inconsiderate, you're just like insane sometimes. You're savage, yes, you are savage. And truth is one thing, by definition, truth is one thing that becomes false if it is changed or tweaked in any way. And we spent like actually a couple weeks looking at that truth is something that is factual, that it is a fact. And if it is tweaked in any way, so if I look at that wall and I say, that wall is blue, even though it's a wall, and even though somebody somewhere could argue that green is a shade of blue, if you look at it like on a Wednesday and the sun is setting in a specific way, by fact, that is a green wall, and it is true. And if it tweaks in any way, then it becomes false. And what we see about Jesus in the Word of God, that is the truth. So it's important for us to realize that we as Christians have the truth. And when that doctrine that we read of in the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, that we know Him to be through the revelation of God's Word, that is the truth. And when anybody tries to tweak that and change it in any way, the product, the result of that is false. It's not just different. It's not a different belief. It is technically a different belief. But it's not just a different belief. It is a false belief. It is a false idea. And we have to understand that God's Word is true. What we see in God's Word is the one truth. And we need to hold that as our standard of what truth truly is. Then we looked at the protection. As we went through 2 John, we saw that as we make progress in our walk with God, we have to protect that progress that we make. You know, we made like a sports illustration, sort of, or like a workout illustration, where if you start working out It'll take you 3 months minimum to get to the perfect agility and endurance to where you are like technically a fit person. Like your body is able to endure and your body is strong enough and agile enough to do like the tasks that you need to do. And whatever you're doing, if it's baseball or if it's football, if it's swimming, if it's like synchronized swimming, basketball, soccer, I do CrossFit, and it takes like 3 months to get to that point that you are the physical maximum, like you are as fit as you need to be. But if you take just 1 week off, so if you stop training in softball and like eat whatever you want and stop practicing for that, or football or baseball, or if I did that with CrossFit, in 1 week I would lose 50% of the progress that I've gained in endurance and in agility and in not necessarily in strength, but really just in endurance and being able to go for a long time with the strength and fitness that is necessary. And that's lost 50% of it in just 1 week of taking a break. So just like that, our spiritual lives, as we like work out our spiritual muscles, reading God's word, memorizing his word, coming to church and talking with other believers about like God's word and about what God is doing in our lives and what God is doing in our family and in our friend situation and at school. When we do these things, we're working out spiritual muscles. And there's deceivers in this world who are out to steal that progress we've made. And deceivers are people who tweak or change the truth of Jesus and then try to get other people to believe what they believe. These are deceivers. People who have maybe read the Bible and they've interpreted it in a different way, or they saw the miracles of Jesus and felt that they had to give a reason for why those could actually happen, not just believe in faith that Jesus was able to walk on water. So you have people that say Jesus wasn't truly God. People that say Jesus wasn't truly human. He just looked like a human. But if you would have like pushed against him, you would have like fallen through because he was like a spirit, essentially. And that's why he was able to do what he did. And so a whole bunch of people, even in the time when John wrote 2 John and 3 John, were coming up with these ways that they made the truth and the doctrine of Jesus false. Whatever they felt they had to do, they were making it false. In 2 John verse 7, John says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Now that word antichrist, a lot of us think of like in Revelation when the antichrist comes on the scene, and that is the person who's going to be like killing people and making people take the mark of the beast. But no, this is not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is a thing called the spirit of the antichrist. And it's just anything that's on earth currently that is like antichrist. Anything that is on earth that is against Christ, against what he taught, against what he's doing, against what he's going to do in the future. And he's saying, John is saying, that the deceivers, the people who make up false things about Jesus, are antichrist. They are people who are against the work of Christ. And we saw that we need to notice these. We need to notice deceivers. And we need to cling to the truth and avoid those deceivers. There's no point in risking trying to understand their interpretation of Scripture, or trying to understand their history, or trying to understand why they believe what they believe, because the closer we get to it, the more time we give it, the more we have the risk of losing that progress we've made in Christ. So we need to protect it. Just like as Christians, we need to be on the offense, like not offense, like beating people up, but on the offense, like we're spreading God's word. We also need to defend it in our lives. We also need to defend our faith. And so that was a really important aspect of 2 John. And then in 3 John, and this is our third point, we saw the conduct. 3 John was all about, like we called it the photo album. 3 John was all about Christians who have set examples for us. So we saw like One guy who was kind of like the great grandpa that accomplished so much in his life, that was Gaius. And you're like, how did you ever do so much? You're incredible. And then another guy who was like that like crazy uncle that you don't even want to like speak at Thanksgiving, and you hope he doesn't like stand up and make a speech like he always does. That, you know, like that crazy uncle, right? Yeah, everybody has a crazy uncle. No, just me. I have a crazy uncle for sure. I mean, everybody does. But then we also... No, not you. All your uncles are awesome. I'm jelly. I'm totes jelly. and then we looked at like the cool uncle. The uncle that's like young and like cool and able to do tricks on a skateboard. Like when you go into the pool, he knows better tricks than you do. Or the uncle who like... is a better video gamer than you, or like whatever, you know, like the cool uncle. And so Gaius, he was that grandpa that you look up to and you're like, he's incredible. He's the guy who welcomed people into his home. He walked in truth. He lived that example. But Diotrephes was that bad example. He was the one who was consumed by his pride, like eaten alive by it. He was like pretty crazy. And then Demetrius was the cool uncle. Demetrius had a good testimony from everybody at his church. That means everybody at his church like looked up to him and respected him because of the example that he set. And when I say conduct, when I say the conduct, I don't mean like, does it conduct electricity or whatever, but I mean the actions of a Christian. The way that the actions that we are supposed to produce, the things that we should be imitating. And 3 John shows us very plainly what we should imitate and what we should not imitate. In verse 11, he says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not even seen God or has not experienced God." So, like, literally, he's saying, don't imitate Diotrephes. Don't imitate that guy who was consumed by his pride. That guy who was kicking people out of the church because they were, like, a threat to who he was. That guy who really just didn't like people and didn't enjoy people because he was so consumed in his pride. And then he's like, but imitate Demetrius. Demetrius, everybody looks up to him because of the actions that he produces. Everybody knows confidently that he is a genuine Christian. And Demetrius was a guy who had a good testimony amongst Christians. And what that means is, if you asked anybody at Demetrius's church, if you were like, is Demetrius serious about what he does? Is he a serious Christian? Right away, they'd be like, yeah, I'm certain that Demetrius is excited about the Lord. He has a genuine relationship with God. And, that's who he is. That's 100% of who he is. He's 100% surrendered to God. And here's why it's important. Here's why our conduct is important. Because Jesus said that as Christians, we are kind of like trees. We're kind of like fruit trees. In that the fruit that we produce, the actions that we produce, tell us what type of tree we are. So if you have a tree in your backyard, and it's producing oranges. Everybody loves a good orange. If it's producing oranges, you know for 100% certainty that that tree is an orange tree. A what tree? A coconut tree? Yeah. If it's a coconut tree making oranges, then we'd have issues. We'd be pretty confused at that point, right? So we judge the trees based on their fruit. And Jesus is saying, just as a Christian, when you become a Christian, you should stop doing those evil deeds, those evil acts that marked your life before you knew Christ. And you should start doing good acts. You should start imitating Christ. You should start imitating God and the examples that he has set for us in Scripture. You should start obeying and start honoring him. And these were the high points of what we covered in 2nd and 3rd John. And it's a lot. It can be a lot to take in, especially the truth, because that is like kind of hard to grasp that Jesus is the one truth of eternity, and that truth is only something that we can understand through God, and God displays truth through his word. And then protection, that now that we have the truth, now that we realize that we have the truth, we have to protect it, and we have to watch out for those who are out to deceive us, who have that spirit of the Antichrist. And then our conduct, that as we move forward walking in the truth, we will start to stop imitating what is evil, and we will start imitating what is good. Now, as we come to a close, and as we really come to a close of the whole entire series, the question can come, so what do I take from this? If I could take like one golden nugget, so if like you went to a gold mine, you were digging around and you saw a whole bunch of cool things, but you can only take one golden nugget with you, what will you take? Or what does John want us to take? And this can be like actually pretty tough. It can be pretty confusing, because at the end of the chapter, at the end of 3 John, he's like, I have so much to say, but I don't have time to say it right now, so I hope I see you soon. Walk in peace. Tell the homies I said what's up, and then my homies said what's up, and like, peace be with you, and peace. And everybody's like, okay. He ends it so quick, and he's not like, if you take one thing, take this. So I had to think about it. I had to think, like, if we're leaving this book, what's something important that we can take? And I think, though it's really short, I think John does give it to us. In verse 14, at the end, he says, peace to you. And it's so easy to read that, to read peace to you, and just be like, okay, he's like, peace out. Because, I mean, we still say it, right? We still say it, peace. Like, the Jews still say shalom. That means, like, peace. They still say peace out, peace. Like, and so we can read that and be like, okay, yeah, peace. Everybody says it, everybody does it, everybody wants it, everybody loves peace. But I think it is important, and I don't think it should be overlooked or briefly looked at. But I think he's hitting on something that's very important, because the things we've studied in this passage should produce a natural peace in our lives. Because think about it. If we realize that we as Christians know the truth, not only do we understand what truth is, but we know the truth. We don't have to spend our days wondering, do I really exist? Does eternity exist? Was Jesus real? Was this real? But in God's word, we have from the beginning to the end the truth as realized by God. And we're able to read that word for word and understand the truth. And that should produce a peace in our lives that nobody else in this world has. Everybody else in this world that doesn't know the truth is wondering, what happens when I die? What happens if my grandparents have passed away? Where are they? What are they doing? Do I even really exist right now? Is my hand a real thing? Am I comprehending something that is real? These are questions that people are really asking themselves. And then, not only that, but when we realize the truth, when we truly grasp that it is the truth, if we allow it, it will change our lives. When we start to walk in it, we'll start to want to obey God naturally, not because we want to make somebody happy or because we want to look good, but because we naturally want to please God because of our realization of the truth. And we'll naturally have this love for the world around us, those who are saved and those who are unsaved. And then, as our lives are being changed by the truth, as we start to walk in the truth, we will then start to imitate what is good. And from that point on, then we will start to naturally maintain that good testimony that we see from Demetrius. So, I think the reason he says peace to you is because we can read all of this and say, oh my goodness, I need to start obeying more. I need to, this sin that I'm struggling with, I need to get it in line super quick so that I can start walking in truth. And then when I start walking in truth, I need to start imitating what is good. And when I imitate what is good, then I need to be like Gaius, and I need to be like Demetrius, and I need to copy what they do, and I need to start producing good Christian fruit, because that's what Christians do. And I need to be a Christian, because I'm a Christian. And no, that's what it can feel like when you take it all in. But John's like, peace to you. You know the truth, and the truth is a powerful thing. It's not us who hold the truth accountable. The truth holds us accountable. The truth is what inspires us every day. The truth is that power that keeps us going. And so John says, be at peace. Peace to you. Just rest in him. Realize that we as Christians have a truth that no one else has. And realize how precious that is. And let it blow your mind. Spend time in God's word knowing that this is the truth of eternity. And it'll start to change your life. If you truly grasp this truth, it'll start to change your life. So peace to you. Rest in him. And continue to walk in that truth every single day. And I think that's what John has for us as we close the book. So let me close in prayer, and then I think you guys will be good to go. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for this opportunity we've had to take a really in-depth look at 2nd and 3rd John. And we pray that though we're leaving the subject of truth and protection from deceivers and like Christian conduct, though we're leaving these topics, Lord, we pray that they would continue with us, that they would stick with us every day, Lord, every week, and every situation that we have each day. We pray that we would be able to rest in your peace and knowing that your truth is powerful enough to transform our lives, Lord. So we rest in you and we look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. We love you so much. We pray all of this in your name. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, you guys are good to go.